Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara two lines from the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Beis, where the words were Rabbanan. So again, we're in the middle of the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan with regards to the comparison of Avodah Zarah. Do we compare Avodah Zarah closer to Masharas, or do we compare it closer to a Nida? So Rabbi Akiva said we compared it fully to a Nida. Within Rabbi Akiva, we had a Machlokas how far he takes that, whether or not it would be Tumas Evan Masma, as we'd seen. And then we had a Machlokas between the Rabbanan, whether or not we hold that according to Rabbanan, that with the Rabbanan hold that it's compared to a Sheretz and not to a Nida. So now the Gemara asks, the Gemara seems to, the Rabbi Kiva had a drasha to compare, the Pesukim itself seem to compare, compare Avodah Zarah to a Nida. So the Gemara asks, Rabbanan, my helpful says, according to Rabbanan, what's the reason that they compare Avodah Zarah to a Nida? If it's not going to be the same halachas, because they say we should compare the halachas to a Sheretz and not to Nida. So the Gemara answers, Maladida ain't a Levarm. So they answer the following, that an Avodah Zarah was compared to Nida to teach us the halacha that just as a Nida, that it doesn't apply to, if you cut off the limbs of a Nida, then it's not going to be Metame, Tumas Nida, as we mentioned, it still would be Metame, Ivrim, and Achai. But with that we talk about whether that applies to humans also, but the Tuma of a, specifically of Tumas Nida, of Tumas Masna and things like that would not apply to a Nida. Af Avodah Zarah, in Elei Varim. So too, the Avodah Zarah is not going to have, if you cut off parts of the Avodah Zarah, that would not have that Tuma anymore, Tumas Masa. The Gemara says though, then according to Rabbi Akiva, then Rabbi Akiva, Lamai Hilchasa Iskish Linda Lemasa. Then what, according to Rabbi Akiva, looks in the Nevela. Let's read it again. Rabbi Akiva, Lamai Hilchasa Iskish Linda Lemasa, looks in the Nevela. According to Rabbi Akiva, what's the reasoning that we compare an Avodah Zarah to a Nida? Why don't you compare it to an Nevela, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, that would be a better comparison? That according to Rabbi Akiva, it still would have Tumas Masa, but doesn't contaminate Tumas Evan Masma, which is exactly the case of what Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Elazar, wanted to tie to Bidas Rabbi Akiva. So then why don't you assume that you should just compare it to a Tumas Nevela? So the Gemara answers, Ena Chanami, really, that's true. It would have been good to compare it to Nevela. However, there would be one problem. Ela, Ma Nida Ena Leivarn, Afa Vodazara Ena Leivarn. Then the comparison would be needed to Nida to teach us another halacha, that just like the Tumah of Nida does not apply to her if you cut off her limbs, so to Avodah Zarah is not going to apply if you cut off parts of the Avodah Zarah and have that the remnants of that. So the Gemara then asks though, Elahai Debai Rav Chama Raguria Avodah Zarah Yeshnele Avarim Mo Inele Avarim. But according to this, which Rav Chama had asked, he was wondering, do we assume that the Tuma of an Avodah Zarah is going to apply to the limbs that are cut off or not? According to him, according to the way Rabbi Elazar is saying it, Tishalei Mahal, Bein L'Rabban, Bein Akiva, Dein Levarim. But the way you just wanted to interpret it, Rabbi Akiva also holds that it doesn't apply to severed limbs of a woman of Nida, so Totu won't apply to Avodah Zarah, and so too Rabbanan would also hold that it doesn't apply to things that are cut off from the Avodah Zarah. So then why does Rabbi Chanan of Arguria, according to this, not bring this as a proof and assume that there is no question that if it's cut off, then if you cut off the Avodah Zarah, there's for sure not going to be metamet tumas masa. So the Gemara answers, Rav Chama bar Guria karaba masa nebaile aliba Rabbi Akiva. Rav Chama bar Guria was teaching his machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, as did Rabba. As we mentioned before, Rav Chama gonna like Rabba, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the comparison to Nevela would not be enough to teach us the law of Avodah Zarah, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Avodah Zarah itself is going to be metame in a place of Evan Masma. So he learned it out from Anida. So that according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not able to learn out the exclusion of covering off the Avodah Zarah, of cutting off the Avodah Zarah, because the Torah never compared it to, in that situation, never the Torah didn't compare it to Nevela in that situation. So Rav Chama Gurva therefore has a valid question, whether or not with the comparison to Nida would extend, as according to Rabbi Akiva, to assume that it's going to extend the Avodah Zarah's limbs if you cut off the Avodah Zarah, or not. So the Gemara then says, the Gemara as a kashya on Rabba's interpretation based on the following brisa, Meisive. The question from the brisa, Avodah Zarah kesheretz and mishamneya kesheretz. That the tuma of Avodah Zarah is like that of a sheretz, and so too its accessories are also going to be like that of the sheretz. Rabbi Kiva Omer Avodah Zarah kenida umishamneya kesheretz. He assumes it's like a nida, Rabbi Kiva, and the tuma of its of the mishamsha, of the accessories are also going to be like the sheretz. So we see from the braisa that according to the Rabbanan, the tuma of an Avodah Zarah is identical to that of a sheretz. If that's the case, then according to this, then Bishlam of the Lezer Nicha, then according to Rabbi Lezer, I understand why he would have that, because according to Rabbi Lazar, we assume that the Braisa would make sense because he was comparing it to Sheretz and comparing it to Nida. However, La Rabba, according to Rabba, holds that even according to Rabbanan, an Avodah Zarah will have Tumas Masa. So then according to him, Kasha, the Braisa seems to clearly say that it wouldn't have Tumas Masa according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers, Amar l'charaba, mi alima mimas nisan. What are you bringing the raya from this braisa and more than the Mishnah itself? What do we saw? We saw this Mishnah yesterday's daf. We already said, the Ketani, the Mishnah told us, atzav avada v'farav mitamim kisheretz, that if the wall falls down of an avodah zara, the wood, the stones, and the dust of it are going to be mitamim like a sheretz does. V'kumina, yet, when I had that question on the Mishnah, I said that the Mishnah was talking about my sheretz below mitamim kevin masma. What is the comparison to a sheretz that we're talking about in the Mishnah? That the sheretz is not going to be mitamim on the heavy rock, right? We mentioned before that if you have the rock, things underneath normally are not metame. However, the tumah of Eben Masma is going to be metame by certain things like a venida and things like that. However, by a sheretz, it does not. So I'm assuming that the chiddush is that we're going to compare, the comparison to sheretz is that it's not metame of Eben Masma. This tumah is not going to apply for the heavy rock situation. Halchanami de la metame Eben Masma. So too, the braisa, when we said that it's like a sheretz, that avodah zarah is like a sheretz, that it is metame Eben Masma, but it's not like a sheretz in that it's not metame be, sorry, yes, it is not metame Eben Masma, but it's not metame Eben Masma, it's not going to be metame Eben Masma like a nida normally would be, and therefore you have the comparison to sheretz, that sheretz is not metame Eben Masma either. But however, I did not want to tell you that, again, it would be metame betumas masa. So the Gemara has a question on Rabbah based on the following brayso, though. Meisivei, nachri v'nachris avodah zara misham sheah, that a person who violates, who worships avodah zara, them and their actual idols itself, and also the accessories, hein v'lo hesetan, they are tame, but they're not going to be metame through being carried. Tumas heset is someone who's being carried. Remember, if you don't actually directly touch them, Tumas Masa tells you, Tumas Heses also would tell you, is that they would not be, they would become Tame. However, here, they are going to be Metame, but if they're carried, they would not be Metame. However, Rabbi Kiva says, Hein Ve'Seitan, that they, according to this, they are going to be, they're going to be Tame through being carried, which Rabbi Kiva again would line up with saying that it's like a Nida. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, Rabbi Lezer Nichan, according to Rabbi Lezer, understand, because according to him, there's not Metame, like the Pashas of this Braisa, it's not Metame, the Avodah Zarah is not going to be metame tumas masa. It's not going to be metame being carried. However, Elo Rabba, who says that even according to the Rabbanan, an avodah zara will have tumas masa, then the Braisa seems to clearly contradict that and say explicitly not that way. Kasha, this is very difficult. So the Gemara answers, Amar l'cha Rabba. The Rabba would respond, l'tamayach, but according to your interpretation of the Braisa, is it any better? Nachri v'nachris, nami hen v'lo hesetan. You're going to explain that when it comes to someone who's worshipping avodah zara, whether it's a man or a woman, it's going to be them and not the tuma that there's not going to be tumas masa, but not the things that they are being carried. The Gemara says v'atanya, is that really true though? The Braisa says really the pasuk should be dabru. It says over here daber, it's really a mistake. It's dabru b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk speaks to b'nei Yisrael, and the pasuk continues v'marta lame ish ki azam b'sura zovu tamehu. And then the Gemara has a drasha b'nei Yisrael mitamim b'ziva ve'in achim mitamim b'ziva. That really means the areisa that only Klal Yisrael are going to be subject to tuma of zav. Tuma zav are mentioned right. So someone has an emission coming from him, it's not too much carry, but something else coming out of him, so these greenish things, the Mishnah used to describe it, coming out of his body two different times, then it would be Tamezav. The same thing with Tumazava is a woman who has her period in an irregular time. So the Gemara says now that the Tumaziva applies to a Jew and does not apply to non-Jews. However, the Rabbanan made a decree, the Rabbanan, that both men, when it comes to Zavim, they're going to be considered like Zavim, and the Rashi points out the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, I think it is, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that that we didn't want our children hanging out with their children because we were afraid that they did Mishka Zavchor, that they would have relations with men, and they would do that for little boys. Okay, so that is something we didn't want them to be around, the Goyim, so we were Tame, then the Zav, and also the Gemara talks about over there that the woman also goes around them to be Nida. But either way, if they're going to be compared with the fact that we're focusing on a man right now, if a man is going to have the Tumah Zav, so if we're going to compare, if the Rabbanim made a decree that going to be Tumah Zav, then L'chora, they have to have the Tumah as well of being carried, of Tumah's Hesed. So then when it comes to Avodah Zarah, a person who worships Avodah Zarah should have this Tumah Derabbanan. Yet, our Braisa says they're not going to. So how is our Braisa going to be against this rule that the Rabbanan have a Gzira, that both a woman who worships Avodah Zarah and a man who worships Avodah Zarah are going to have Tumah Zav? So the Gemara therefore says, Ela Rabba Metaritz L'taymi. Rabba is going to have to change the braisa to the way to his svar, to his shita, and so is Rabbi Lazar as well. So first we're going to start with Rabba. Rabba is going to say, when it comes to worship a person who worships a vodah, both a man and a woman, they are going to become tame through if they're going to be carried, and also if the tuvas eves masma is also going to be betame. If you have the heavy rock is going to be things under that rock would be betame as well. Avodah zara, when it comes to avodah zara, hive seitan avalo even masma shila. Then when it comes to avodah zara, that the avodah zara itself is going to be tame through being carried, meaning tumas masa, but it's not going to be tame through tumas even masma. That is the way he is explaining Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva, avodah zara hive sita even masma shila is also going to be metame. They're not just the avodah zara, but also the heavy rock, the thing underneath it, is going to be metame, because as we said before, the way I understood Rabbi Kiva is that the Evan Masma Evan Masma is also going to become Tame Lefi Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says Rabbi Lazar Mataris Tame. Rabbi Lazar is going to explain the Braisa according to his Svara, which he said before about Evan Masma. So he says, Evan Masma Shalahem is going to be Matame. So everyone would agree, where Rashi points out, both Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Rabba and Rabbi Lazar are going to agree that someone who worships Avodah Zarah, that both the man and the female are going to be Matame both through Tumas Masa and also Tumas Evan Masma. Okay, so that is how he explains. And then Avodah Zarah, he velo esita, but when it comes to an actual idol, then the idol itself is going to become Tame. However, it's going to be Tame, however, through being he velo esita, that it's going to become Tame, but not through being carried. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Avodah Zarah, he ve'esita, meaning according to him, there's no Tumas Masa even, right? Remember, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no Tumas Masa lefim. Rabbi Akiva says Avodah Zarah Hiva Esita. According to him, Rabbi Akiva holds that the Tumas Masa does apply. However, he agrees that Tumas Evan Masma doesn't apply. That was the Nukunas HaMachlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. So now the Gemara says Maski Chlor Ravashki. Ravashi has a problem with both interpretations of the Braisa. He says my hin, the Braisa used the lashon of that they are tame. So what does it mean that they are tame? The lashon of they implies that if they were tame, that would imply that there is a tuma of Tumas Masa over here. So the Gemara was bothered by that. So therefore, the Braisa simply doesn't seem to be explained by, according to either Shita. So the Gemara says, Elam Achar Ravashi. Ravashi gives a different interpretation of the Braisa. He says, Hachi Kamar. This is a Braisa really meant to say, Nachri V'Nachris, that when it comes to a male or a female person worshipping Avodah Zarah, Bein Hen Sheisita Es Achirim, whether they carried others, Bein Achirim Sheisita Osan, or whether they carry, or whether others are carrying them, Tmeim, they are going to become Tame. So now, according to Ravashi, he's introducing a long Rashi over here. Ravashi introduces two types of Tuma, that when he says, hen, referring to the fact that the ability of the people and the things of Braisa to become Tame, and then Hesetan is, according to Ravashi, is translated as they're carrying, which is describing the Tuma, the things at which they're carrying. So that is called Tumas Heset. Tumas Heset is a special Tuma that the Mishnayos and Zavim talk about, the Mishnayos and Taharos talk about a lot. Tumas Heset is a Tuma that applies to a Zav, Zava, Nida, Yeledis. All of those are the four categories that people have Tumas Heses. If they are carrying something, they're gonna make that Rishon Latuma. And not just carrying it, meaning even indirectly. So according to him, that Tumas Heset, doesn't even need the actual weight of the Zav. It doesn't matter if the weight of the Zav is there. It's going to become Tumas Heset. It's going to be more than just regular standard carrying Tuma. That's how Ravashi introduces over here to this concept. Now the Gemara continues, Avodah Zarah Sheisita Achirim Tohorim, that if the idol itself carries others, they're going to become Tohorim. Achirim Sheitizorotot Tmeim. If others carried the Avodah Zarah, they are going to become Tame. That according to Rabbanan, the Avodah Zarah itself is not going to have Tumas Heset in the things that are above it. That's how Rav Ashi wants to understand. So now the Gemara continues, Misham Shea, however, the accessories, Bein Hen Sheisito Achim Sheisito Osan Tahorim, that whether they carried others or they carried them, they do not have Tumas Masa. That's what seems to come out from, everyone agrees that the accessories are not going to have Tumas Masa. Bikiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, Nachri V'Nachas of Vodazara, Bein Hen Sheisito Achim, Bein Hen Sheisito Osan Tmeim, that if both of Vodazara, person worships a woman worships a boda, whether they carry others or other carrying them, they're going to become tummy. Misham Shewa, ever the accessories, Bein and Shezizu Achirim, Bein and Shechzirozo, and Torim, that the accessories are going to become Torah, they're not going to be subject to Tumas Masa. So the Braisa, according to Ravashi, is saying that, it's not saying that the people and the things are mentioned are going to become tame, but it's speaking of two sorts of tuma. That's what Ravashi seems to understand. There's two types of tuma: regular tumas masa, which is a tuma we know is being carried, and then there's extra tuma of tumas heset azav, which is specifically when a zav is carrying an object. That is the special chumas of tumas zav. That is what Ravashi is discussing. That's what he understands as the machlokas. The Rabbanan hold that the avodah zara is going to have the tame of tumas masa, but it's not going to have tumas heset. However, Rabbi Kiva holds that it's going to be tame tumas heset as well. well. So the Gemara has a kashya. Rav Ashi, Gemara says avodah zara. So the Gemara says when it comes to avodah zara, the bishlam macherim shesito osam mishkachasa. When it comes to avodah zara itself, that they can carry the things that the idol is understandable, being people who carry it. However, elahish shesito achirim hechem mishkachasa. How is the idol going to be carrying other things? Usually, we're assuming that only humans or people, live things, can carry other things. What are we talking about over here? That the lashon of carrying is used when it comes to the avodah zara itself. It's an inanimate object. So how is it going to be creating tumas hesed? The Gemara has assumed at this point that an animate object can't create tumas hesed. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Ami, because we only learn it by zav and zav and deletus. These are live people. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Ami bar Rav Yova kidisnan, as we learn in the following Mishnah: zav bekaf mazayim. If the zav is on one side of the scale, ochin mashkim bekaf shnia, and there's foods and liquids on the other side of the scale, so the kara hazav. So kara zav tmei, and if the zav weighed down his side of the scale, the foods and the liquids are going to become tame. Those are going to become tame because the zav is going to be able to create a tumas hesed in anything that he is supporting, whether it's food or liquid, Rashi points out, whether it's klecheres, even an other human being. Now, however, kro hein tahorim, if the foods or liquids are weighed down on the other side of the scale, they are going to become tahor. So we see over here from the Braisa that when it comes to tumas zav over here, the hesed is going to apply to the objects even if they're not actually above him, but it's just supported by him. That we assume, that we see from here, that tumas hesed is applying with the Braisa as it's not necessarily going to be defined by something as a human being that is lifting it. It's not necessarily as important. So therefore, we can see that the objects are able to carry, even though that they would be subject to the tumas of hesed. That's what we see basically from the raisa. So now the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara continues. Well, not really a kasha. The Gemara is just asking, "Kiman alzad desana? Who is the following raisa follow? Kol tumas hamesisos tahoros, that any." Things that are going to become tame are going to that perform tumas heses on Torah objects. The objects themselves are going to remain Torah. The Gemara says chutz me heseto shel zav. Except the only exception would be the hesed of a zav. Of all of the tumas, that alone is going to make those things tame. The Gemara says shalom atzinu lochaver b'chol Torah kula, because we don't see anything that's similar to hesed of a zav anywhere in all the Torah. It doesn't have that same tuma by any other type of tuma v'tahara. Again, this is talking about tumas hesed and also yonah shel zav. The thing we mentioned, I didn't get so much into it, the things that are above the zav as well are going to become tame. So now the Gemara says, lema delok Rabbi Akiva, should we assume that this braisa is not going to follow shitas Rabbi Akiva? Why? Because according to Rabba, before we saw that Rabbi Akiva says that it, when it comes to avodah zarah, is also shayach to the law of tumas evan masma, and then we'd also have the hesed of a zav, then the Gemara's question would be regarding Rabba's opinion, the fear of Rabbi Akiva, to eat Rabbi Akiva, because if we are assuming like Rabbi Akiva, ikanami avodah zarah, there's also going to be a case of an idol itself, which would make a tara object tame, the things that are support through the tomb of Evan Masma, as we have seen. So the Gemara now answers, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Akiva. Now maybe you could assume that the Braisa is even according to Rabbi Akiva, Tana Zav Chol D'Damilay, that the Braisa is referring to teach that a Zav and anything that's similar to a Zav, and that would be in this situation of Avodah Zarah, the idol itself is going to become similar to a Zav, and there would be so also a similar thing to be Tamei B'Tumas Hesed. So the Gemara now says, this is a question we've asked already twice in reference to that. We didn't actually see the question in the Shaka Vatari. We just saw the question referred to as Akasha. In how do you explain this? And now it finally gets to this question. If do we assume that a tuma of an idol itself that was cut apart, do we assume that it's going to apply to its the part that you cut apart or not? So the Gemara now says, so the Gemara first lays out the following. If a regular person is able to rebuild it, then you don't have a question. Why? Because it's going to be similar as if we're going to assume that it's as if it's fully able to place it. Because all you have to do is just, if I'm able to just put it back on and tape, put a little tape, that would not be a shaila because it's so easily put back together. We're assuming it's going to still be in his avodah zarah status. However, the question would be, where a regular person is not able to reassemble it, then in that question would be the following question. What's the question? Maybe I would assume that since a person is a regular guy who's not a craftsman is unable to reassemble it, then you could assume it's like it's broken and therefore will not be tame because it's broken. Or the other option is dilma ha lo mechzer. At the end of the day, though, you could assume that maybe it's not fully smaller with the fact that you destroyed it right now. And if a piece broke off, the idol is still round, then maybe you could assume we still view it as a whole thing, and the thing that broke off would also be metame as well. Now the Gemara explains, maybe the question was completely the other way. The Gemara says, that where a regular guy is unable to reassemble it, then there would be no question. Why? It's as if the idol is broken off, because It's considered halachically broken. The only question would be, where a regular guy, is able to reassemble it. Even in that situation, according to this version, would be the question, is it still going to be metame? Why? The first thought is that since a regular guy is able to rebuild it, then we're going to view it as a halachically intact, and therefore it's going to have tumah. Oh, at the end of the day, right now, it's completely broken apart. So it's not together. So therefore, we view it as a broken item halachically. The Gemara says, "Teika." We don't know. We don't have an answer to this question. Now the Gemara continues with another question. What's the halacha if you have an avodah zarah that people worship, which is less than an olive size? So normally he's assuming, obviously, that he was assuming quili as the size of kezias is the shear that's important for avodah zarah. But the Gemara takes a step back. The Gemara says, "Well, if that is the size of an avodah zarah, then for sure it should be betame." Maskif of Yosef lemai. So he says, what is your question? If you're going to assume that the guy actually worships it, and that is the form of which a person worships it, then it should be no different than the zvuv of Ekron. What was the zvuv of Ekron? The Gemara is going to mention right now. The side of the Braisa tells us that the zvuv of Ekron was the following. The Pasuk says that they made a Baal Bris for a god, meaning this is referring to the Jews who are worshiping Avodah Zarah over here. So this is why not use Lashon Elohim? It's Elohim. It's the Lashon of Chol. So Zvuv Ba'ekron. This is actually reference to Zvuv. Zvuv is a little fly. So we're talking about Avodah Zarah that he used to worship was the size of a fly. It was a tiny little thing. It looked like a fly. It's teaching you that each person made this little fly-like thing, and they put it in their pockets. When they used to think of the Avodah Zarah, they would take it from their purse, from their pockets, and they would hug it and kiss it. So we see that clearly that's viewed as a full-fledged Avodah Zarah. If Avodah Zarah is worshipped in that state of less than a kezias, and you can't argue that it's full-fledged Avodah Zarah, you're violating Avodah Zarah, chayv misa, and it's fully tamei midrabanan on that level. So the Gemara answers, no, ela einan tumah. We're wondering with regards to the shear of an Avodah Zarah that's less than a kezias. So then he's wondering, my kevan to iskish l'sheretz ma'sheretz v'chadash Avodah Zarah v'namechadash. If we assume that we had a comparison to a sheretz we know is the size of a lentil. The size of a lentil we saw before is smaller than the size of a shear of a kezias. Odilma iskish l'mes, or maybe we could say that it's also compared to a mace. My mace b'kezias Avodah Zarah kezias. So just like a dead body is only the size of an olive, so too this will be the size of an olive. So the Gemara wants to answer. Amar of Yah v'teber Rabba bar Ula Tashma. We can bring a proof. Tisani Avodah Zarah p'chusim b'kezias ein ba tuma kol eker. That an idol that is less than the shear of a kezias of an olive has no tuma at all. Shenemar the pasuk says by King Yoshiyahu. That he threw the dust on the graves of the people who had sacrificed to it. This is referring to the people that the Avodah Zarah that they worship. And so the Gemara says, "Joshua, ma meis b'kezias avodah zarah kezias." Just as a dead body is only going to have tameh with the size of an olive, so too an idol is only going to be the size of an olive and not that of a chadasha, the size of a lentil, rather only the size of a kezias. Of an olive. So now the Gemara goes back to understanding Rabbi Lazar's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Lazar, how is he going to? We explain how he explained Rabbi Akiva. Now, how is he going to understand Rabbanan? L'may Hilchasa is Kish L'Sheres. What is the halacha? What is an idol compared to a sheres? Now the Gemara answers the Lomatame Masa. It's not going to be Matame to Tumas Masa at all, according to the way Rabbi Lazar wants to understand Rabbanan. L'Nida. What's the reason that there's a comparison to Nida? So he says De'ena Le'Ivarim, that it's not going to be, if you cut it off, it's not going to be Matame B'Tumas. It's not going to be tame to mas avodah zarah. Lemes, what's the reason that avodah zarah compared to a mace? Lametame chadash, it's not going to be tame through the size of a lentil, as we mentioned, only the more mekel shita of an olive, which is bigger. Then the Gemara says, "Ema lachumra." But should we say that all of these? Why don't we can learn three chumras from all these three halachas? What are the three chumras? Lamay alchasa iskish chumra lesheretz. What's the reason that Kosh Baruch Hu compares it to a sheretz? Lametame bechadash, it should be tame even through the shear of a lentil, which is, as we mentioned, smaller than the shear of a kezias of an olive. Lenida, what can you compare it to nida, which is more machmir? Lametame be even Masma that Tumas Nida applies to the heavy rock of the things underneath that rock as well. So to the Avodah Zarah should be metame to the things underneath the rock as well. Akshar Achmana Lameis, what's the reason it was compared? Kosh Baruch Hu compared it to the Torah. Why does the Torah compare it to a mace, to a dead body? Latumeva Oel, that should be metame through, we know the Tumas Oel, that if a dead body is under a roof, anything inside of that roof would be metame through Tumas Oel, through Tumas of a roof of a dead body. So too the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Tumas Avodah Zarah Derabanan. The whole Tumah, the whole enactment, as we mentioned before, of Avodah Zarah is only a Derabanan. Vekula Vechurma, Lekula Makshina, and Lekurma Lamakshina. Generally, when we have a choice of using a comparison. And we have a dinder abanan here, so then we're going to compare it lakula to the halachic rulings of that comparison, of that din that we wanted to learn in it, and not lachumra, not to the more chumra, the more machmir opinion. Okay, that was a very difficult shakla. It's hard to look at the Rashi, it's much longer. I don't think I gave everything clear, but everyone, I hope, does chazara and understands a little bit clearer. So now we're up to the next Mishnah. Minayin l'sfinish etor again, we're mentioning that the entire Mishnayos for the Hemshech of here until we get to the one that's relevant to Hilchos Shabbos is just where do we know? So here again, where do we know that a ship is not going to be susceptible to Tumah of to Tumah? So the Gemara says Shenemar Derech Aniyah Belevyam, that the path of a ship is in the sea, and they were comparing it. We're going to see the water, just like a water is not metame, so to the Tumah over here, it's not going to be metame Tumas Meis or Tumas Sheretz. These things are not going to become tame, and they're similar to the water which is not metame. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, not really a kasha. The Gemara says, pshita ania b'levyam. The Gemara is just continuing to hamshich l'drasha. Rashi points it out. It's not a kasha. The Gemara is saying, it's obvious that a ship is in the water. Where else is the ship going? So the Gemara is saying that the drasha of the Mishnah was hakamash malan. The pasuk is coming to teach you that the drasha of kiyam mayam tohara sivina tohura. Just like a water is not mitame, so too, is not susceptible to Tuma, so too a ship in that way is susceptible to Tuma. And how do I know that water itself is not susceptible to Tuma? Because Rashi points out, because the seas and lakes are considered to be attached to the ground, which is Mechubar, things attached to the ground are not susceptible to Tuma. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanya, we taught in a Braisa. Chananya Omer. Chananya says, Nilmud Abisak, what we could learn that the fact that a ship is not going to be subject to Tuma from a sack. From the sack. What is the drash of a sack? The sack is what teaches you that there's general things that are tame. So sack is masak metaltem alavirek. And we know that a sack, the normal use is it's carried both when there are things in it, when it's empty, and when it's full. Anything that is generally carried when it is full and when it is empty, that is going to be susceptible to tuma through tumas maga for touching it. However, kalim that are not made to be used in this manner are not going to become in tame. La fukes minad in metalos malavirekam, because a ship which is very big is not carried while it's empty, while it's full, and while it's empty. Only when it's empty, the ship can be carried, because otherwise it's heavy. So therefore, the ship, when we're talking about carrying over here, is taking it out is going to be considered tame. So therefore, Chananya is using a different drasha to teach you that it's not going to be susceptible to tuma. To which the Gemara asks, "My benayu, is there any difference between them?" The Gemara says, "Yes, ikabenayu spina shel cheres, that if there is an earthenware ship, ma damarani abelevyam, according to the Mishnah which we saw that compares it to water, hanami abelevyam, that an earthenware ship is also going to be in the water in the sea. Lama damar v'sak, however, the one who says that when comparing it to a sack, hanach dechsivik abe sack, that these analogy things are written along with the sack, the imetaltos malavirikan in lalo, that specifically carried when it's full and when it's empty, those things are going to be such as the two men, things that are not comparable is going to be tame. Aval spina shalcharis, however, an earthenware ship, which is made of material not listed in the things that are comparable to the sack, then afal gav de inametaltos malavirikan, even though they're not carried while they are full and while they're empty, we would assume maybe that those type of, since it doesn't apply to the drasha, maybe Chananya would hold that they would become tame. So now the Gemara says, and maybe another nafkamina, inami sfina seyardin, also you could say a boat that's in the Jordan River. It's very narrow and very shallow. So therefore, it only have small boats which can be carried and taken up and down. So the Gemara says, "Laman damar ania b'levyami, hanam b'levyami." So that's in the water, so it doesn't matter if it's very small. You could carry it. "Laman damar matalas malavirikan." According to Chananya, said they're able to pick it up while it's full, while it's empty. Things that have boat sizes would not be in that category. But however, this one is tiny, and you can then hanami matalto malavirikan. Then this one is carried both while it's full and while it's empty, and then therefore it should become tame. "Damar b'chanan b'nakavim and ma amru sfina seyardin tmeya." Why do they assume? Why do they say that the boats of the Jordan River are going to become susceptible to tumah? Because people can pick it up and dry it and take it down when they have loads on it, because it's carried when it's full and when it's empty. So therefore, if it's carried even when it's in the water, therefore we'd assume it's susceptible to tumah. So now the Gemara continues. So a person should never miss one shear in the base medrash. Why? Because Sharei Kamash and Mishnah Mishnah Dabbeis Hamidrash. Many years people loved this Mishnah. V'lo niskala tamat shabara b'chanin ben akavi al pirsha. Rabbi Chanin ben akavi, who was the one who explained how do we have this, the reasoning over here, that when it comes to the Sfinas Yarden, how would we have a drasha that would someone would assume that it was become tame? And someone who would miss the base medrash would have never known this pshat. So the witch of the Gemara then gets an aga point, which is very no get for Shavuos over here. Amar Biyochanan, v'lo ma'idim atzvas b'chanin ben akavi al pirsha. A person should never stop learning Torah, even If he's in the moment of death, if a person is dying in the tent, and his drush over here is a play on words, that even when you're dying in the tent, you should still be learning Torah. Still be learning Torah. Even when you're dying, you should be learning in Torah. Your entire life, from beginning to end, should be osik b'Torah. And then the Gemara now says, at the end of this, beautiful, before Shavuos, Amar Shlakish, Indra Thomas Kama, Ella Mesh Mesan Swealas, Shinamar Zostar Adam Kiamus Ba'ala. The Torah only is retained by someone who kills himself, who works really hard on it, doesn't take a break, and constantly learning. That is the message of the Torah. And the pasuk he learns out is Zostar Adam Kiamus Ba'ala, the person who's dying in the tent, you should die over the Torah. And I was just thinking that maybe that's the pshat why we stay up on Shavuos. When I just read this, I was thinking that's the pshat why we stay up on Shavuos, to show how do we Mekayim the Torah. We just got the Torah on Har Sinai. Just giving it is not enough. The Mimim Misasma. And what's Mimim Misasma? By keeping yourself awake all night. How hard is that? That's Mamish Mimim. Taking away the physical pleasures, the Amram writes, that's the whole idea of Kinyan HaTorah. So Mirtz Hashem, Mishal B'Zoche, to be Mekayim, and to have the Kinyan Torah of Adam Kiyamos Ba'Oel, and Mirtz Hashem.